The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
Okay, sorry guys. pardon me. I put everybody on mute. I let everybody talk to one another, and you guys were playing civil, which is very cool. Which means that if everybody promises to play nicely and continue to play nicely, I will unmute everybody. The reason why everybody is muted at this point is just because I wasn't sure who was going to be here and how everybody would be handled. But everybody, in the time that we were playing those tips, I opened up the phone line and let everybody who was calling on the phone line talk to one another, and they were having a great conversation. So hold those thoughts, guys. I had to mute you because we had to come back, and I had to welcome everybody back to the Chris Perillo Show, being brought to you by GoToMeeting.com, and that's what we're using right now. And we're using a service in conjunction with that to do the phone call. I'm doing this over the phone, how I'm talking, and we're recording it. Recording this phone call, and like we normally do with the Chris Perillo Show, just kind of doing it a little differently. So we're showing off what's on my screen, and then we've connected with other people's screens as well tonight, including Ponzi's, and I don't know why she wanted us to share her screen. She didn't really have anything interesting to show.
It was that picture of you.
Exactly. She didn't have anything interesting to show. GoToMeeting.com. If you want a 30-day trial, beyond the normal 15-day trial, just type in G-N-O-M-E, and you click on the radio icon, and that's where you type in G-N-O-M-E, and then you can get the 30-day free trial. And the thing that's nice about this is it is scalable, you know, beyond just five people. The trial, I think, can handle up to about 10 users. I'm going to be able to go in and then pick one of these users who's in the GoToMeeting chat room right now and give them a three-month trial.
But you're not picking that till the end of the show?
Right, not till the end of the show, and you have to remind me. Otherwise, I won't be able to. So let me take off. On the screen, I've got a back-in-5-minute sign, which, of course, is no longer valid because I am back. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to unmute everybody, but I'm going to try to keep them on topic. They were talking, by the way. They were in the process of talking of free solutions for web conferencing, which I don't think anybody is offended by. It just happened to be timing. So everybody, what I'd like to see if we can guide this direction, see if this works. I don't know. Like I said, we're trying it. We're live.
Now, this is almost like the beer casting thing that Greg Norain does, because you want everybody to focus on one specific topic.
Okay, yeah, most likely. Okay, so wait, can people hear me? Or people can't hear me on the phone. Have I muted myself?
This line is now unmuted.
Okay, I muted myself, apparently.
So you've been...
I've been talking to myself. People on the stream can hear me, but the people on the regular phone line couldn't hear me. So the people on the regular phone line, what we're going to do, I'm going to bring you back into the call. I had to mute you because we came back. It had nothing to do with what you guys were talking about. I know what you guys were talking about. I thought it was fantastic stuff. But I want to specifically cover someone's question about the pop-up ads in TiVo. And so as I bring you in, if everyone continues to act civil, I'll keep you guys unmuted. And I think this will be a fantastic precedent for the Chris Perillo Show. And again, we're doing this courtesy of GoToMeeting. They're really making this possible. You know, the phone bridge, et cetera, et cetera. So, everybody, please play nicely. And I'll ask for a round of introductions. And then we'll start into the topic here. And if this works.
All callers are muted.
Okay, let's try it again.
All callers are unmuted.
Okay, everybody, you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. I don't know how many people are actually on the phone call right now.
About 14 people, Chris.
14 people? Okay, so if you can do a quick introduction, just like your name and maybe your website.
Matthew Bischoff, MatthewBischoff.com. Steve Marmelstein, UserBinGeek.com.
Mike Spencer, QuickStream.org.
MAB631.blogspot.com.
What was that?
MAB631.blogspot.com. I think that was everybody.
Is that everybody? Is that everybody who wants to talk, apparently. There may be other people, but, you know, some people might be shy. It's okay.
We'll do Michael, and you can use lockernome.fantasymusicleague.com.
Woohoo!
Hey, Chris, this is Greg, GregHughes.net.
Hey, Greg. Oh, someone may be listening to the stream in the background. You might want to turn it down. Otherwise, we'll get a little radio echo. So that's the only thing. So if anybody else is here... Is anybody else here that didn't introduce themselves? Maybe? Maybe not? It's okay. Just you can stay silent if you are. First of all, this is just very cool. We just kicked it up a notch to a level that I wasn't expecting to hit, but this is great. So the question is this new TiVo advertisement that's now popping up when you fast forward through the commercials. Now, I personally don't own a TiVo. I have a Windows Media Center, and I download shows over BitTorrent, so usually I skip commercials, and it doesn't bother me at all. Are there any TiVo users in this conference right now?
I have 3 TiVos.
Okay, so you'd be the first person. And this is who?
This is User Bing Geek.
User Bing Geek. Okay, so what's your thought about this new pop-up advertisement that displays when you're fast-forwarding through commercials?
Well, if you enable the 30-second skip hack, you never see them. At least I haven't yet.
So it's only if you enable the 30-second skip?
No, if you enable it, you do not see them. But if you're just using a normal fast-forward... then you would see them.
Okay. So if you did have that turned on, would it be something that would annoy you to the point that you would stop using TiVo altogether?
No, not at all. It's still, you know, it's such a improvement over regular TV because, you know, you have the pause the live TV or instant replay, you know, and, you know, that you can time shift everything you record. It really doesn't seem as a... detriment to me, and I really think that a lot of the hoopla about it has been overblown. The ads aren't that big.
Someone seems to be having fun with the keypad there.
Yeah.
The ads aren't that big. They don't obscure the entire screen, so I really don't think it's that much of a problem. Besides the few little bugs they've had, where they'll appear up during a show when you're not doing anything, you know. But that's rare. You know, it's a new thing, it's in beta, and I'm sure they're going to work out those types of bugs.
Have you seen it, then?
I've only seen it, once when I fast-forwarded. But when using the 30-second skip, I have not seen it at all.
Never even knew that.
Well, I know that, for me, it wouldn't be too much of an issue just because I'm already fast-forwarding through the thing anyway. If it was something that would pop up, say, randomly throughout watching a program, I might be a little more annoyed with it.
It's not supposed to. It's only supposed to be when you're fast-forwarding.
Has anybody seen the PVRblog.com screenshot of the TiVo ad?
Yeah, I have. I saw
that one of the RSS feeds
I had. I really don't think the ad is supposed to be that intrusive. I mean, I think if you're going so fast-forwarding, I really don't even think you'll be able to see it that, you know. You might be able to read it like once.
That's not too bad.
System with SnapStream, so it's got a 30-second jump with no ads.
But put it this way: even if it's that little ad, you're still skipping through. You know, have 2 minutes of commercials to see what that little like 10-second clip of the ad or whatever it is.
Exactly.
Who's currently advertising in that method right now?
I honestly do not. I think it was actually the one I saw. I think was for the PlayStation Portable.
Oh,
The Interpreter, the movie The Interpreter. They're advertising on TiVo.
The Interpreter. I haven't seen that one yet.
It's
April 22nd. That's the one on PVR blog anyway.
So
the 30-second ad skip, where you just jump ahead, is that a supported TiVo feature?
It is. To enable it, you need to be watching. Something not live, and you would hit select, play, select 3-0, then select again, and that will turn your advance button into a 30-second skip button.
So the only people that are really going to see the pop-up ads are the average users that don't know to enable
that. Right.
It's a common TiVo hack. It's all over the place.
it.
Okay, right now I pulled up on my screen the screenshot from PVR blog, and it looks doesn't look too bad. I guess I would have expected it to look a bit different, but considering that you're skipping through, you know, stuff anyway, it doesn't seem to be too obtrusive.
If you scroll down, you can see what the writer would like it to be.
Yeah, see, that's where that's what I thought it was going to be.
Yep.
Because then you could see through it if you you know if you're looking for some keyframes. That makes sense. That I'm not surprised by. And of course, we're looking at on the screen through the GoToMeeting software for people who aren't following along on PVRblog.com. Now, someone had brought up that you'd seen quite possibly the PSP. Are there any PSP owners here?
Mine's on the way. It'll be here tomorrow.
Ah. So you didn't cave to the temptation of buying it in the store, or you just couldn't find one?
Yeah, I went out on Easter, couldn't find one, so I ordered it from buy.com.
Anybody else?
I unloaded mine already.
No time for games for me.
I think it was a little too high a price, though, personally.
That's cheap.
How much are they retailing for?
$250.
Yeah, $250 if you're not getting a bundle.
Yeah.
That's kind of...
I would have loved to see if it, I'd seen it at $200. I would have bought it right away then, probably.
Bundle's running about $300.
Well, the screen is nice.
Yeah.
That's one thing I'll definitely give it. That's the one thing that caught my eye as far as the PSP was concerned over just about every other portable gaming device that I've seen. That screen was just unreal. It reminded me a lot of the first time I saw the Sega's Game Gear years ago.
Some people are doing some really cool stuff with video on the PSP, so that's definitely something to look at.
Yeah, I think, Jake, you just posted a tutorial on how to convert DVDs to the PSP.
And TiVo files from TiVo to Go, you can convert those to the PSP now, too.
Wow.
Except about that new TiVo desktop, what is it, like, in beta now? It's like 2.1. They're, like, making it really hard to convert TiVo files to...
Yeah, there's still a way to strip the DRM, though, as there always will be.
Oh.
Most likely. Let's hope, at least.
Yeah.
Until they implement hardware DRM.
Yeah, hardware DRM would be the end of that.
Yep.
Unless you have a replay, then you don't... Then there's, what is that, archival something that... SourceForge project that is blows TiVo's software out of the water.
Oh, yeah. I think I know which one you're talking about. That was the one that almost, that project actually almost pushed me to getting a Replay TV over a TiVo, and then I ended up getting the, before I got the Media Center, I was using Beyond TV over at Snapstream.
Hang on, I'll go there. Oops, sorry, I'm sure that was loud. See,
is anybody here using an open source?
You mean
PVR?
Like a Myth TV?
Yeah.
The mythical PVR?
Not yet. This is Beyond TV. This is the one that I was using up until recently, and then I switched to Media Center Edition 2005, and I've been using that with very not as many problems as I would say I had with Beyond TV.
Chris, do you have an Xbox?
Yep.
No, did you buy the $70 extender package thing to go into a different room?
Nope. Those things are junk.
I have one and it works all right.
I heard they work pretty good, I have to say.
They work reasonably well. I have one.
See, I've heard a few people have issues, and I'm sure the next Xbox is going to have it built in.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna. Consider this too. The PC with Media Center Edition 2005 is in the same room as my Xbox, so it kind of makes having an extender kind of pointless at that point. So
it's
great.
Oh, yeah.
So I was just reading in the chat. It says Roger Otterson says I try to have human face to face conversation away from the computer, handheld games, kind of like cell phones. It hinders.
William.
Jim. Did it say Jim was just joining us?
Yes.
Jim.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
You sound surprised.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this.
Oh, wait, is that a good...
People just joined, don't really know that we're unmuted, I guess.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, Jim, we're unmuted. We're sharing with the world right now.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
This
is awesome. You really brought it to a new level.
Well,
Chris, are you recording this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're recording this. This is going to be a podcast.
I meant the conference. Stuff.
Oh, the conference itself? No, I don't think they have that feature.
You'd have to go to the interface or something. That'd be cool, though.
It would be cool, and I think, this was just kind of doing it this way was an experiment more than anything else to see what everybody thought it was, you know, going to be like, and it seems like everybody's really happy with it, so I'm sure we'll do it again at some point in the near future.
Chris, this reminds me when you were on call for help. That's what this brings back.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So I take it you missed call for help the way it used to be.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
I am.
Those were good days.
Yeah, you're not the only one. I still get emails just about every day from viewers. Some people say, "Where'd you go?" I said, "Well, I didn't really go anywhere. I've always been here. It's just I'm no longer there." So, yeah, with any luck, I think we were in the process. We were trying to figure out how to set up the VoIP network to take live calls, but that didn't work out as well because we had certain bandwidth issues. I think what we're going to do for live calls is actually get a phone switch and just take live calls just over traditional lines. And then, of course, doing shows like this just really, in my opinion, just really take it to the next level. Being able to demonstrate things and point out things on screen. And then bringing listeners in live. That was not something I was expecting.
That's what I personally love about it, is we can actually comment on it, too. Also in the chat, but also, you know, talking to you.
We are the audio chat room.
Yes.
Yeah, that is...
I've got three screens going on. It's so difficult. It's difficult enough, and I have to remind myself not to open up my email client. Otherwise, like, everybody see the spam that I normally get.
Oh, yeah.
I get a lot of junk. Unless, of course, that's something that would interest you, in which case I could show it, but I'm not interested in it, so... I get way too much spam at this point. In fact, there's another good question to throw out to everybody. Right now, the solution that I use is something called SpamBase, which is open source, and it integrates within Outlook. Let's see if I can find it here. SpamBase. It integrates with Outlook really, really nicely. And it also, it'll work with other mail clients as well as kind of a proxy. But in my opinion, the Outlook plugin really shines. See if I can find any screenshots of it. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm using the Gmail spam filter.
Oh, so you're a Gmail user.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I've been using CloudMark SpamNet and SafetyNet, as they're now called, and I've been really terrific. I get around 300-400 pieces of spam a day easily, and none of it enters my inbox.
I use Mozilla Thunderbird.
Does anyone use one of those pointless challenge response systems?
I feel so happy after hearing that because I get like no spam in my inbox at all. I mean, I don't even my spam box, I really don't get any spam for some reason. I got like this unique address.
Don't share it.
Post it anywhere, yeah.
Well, actually, it's on my podcast, too, so, you know, I just don't see why I don't get a lot of spam. I don't know why.
Because you can't scrape a podcast to harvest an email address.
Yeah.
Yet.
Not yet, at least.
Yet.
Yeah, yet.
Well, it is also on my blog, too. It's on every, basically, post that I post, if that makes sense.
Just give it time.
Yeah.
No, don't give it.
It'll happen.
Actually, if you want to avoid that and you still want to make your email address usable to the world, just either put it in a Java applet or
an image
or a Flash file.
Flash file works. I'm just visiting right now. I'm visiting it looks like a blog. There's someone in the GoToMeeting, James Messer, apparently runs networkuptime.com.
Yep, that's me.
Oh, okay, cool. The obligatory link to FARC.
You must always have a link to FARC.
You know, my favorite website actually is it's Beta, B3TA. Have you seen the images that they do? Like the Photoshopping.
I have not seen
the photoshopping that they do is just hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. In my opinion, it just blows everything else out of the water. But they've got an RSS feed too. Like, look at that one. Look at that one on the screen. Little miscalculation.
Chris, your screen is frozen.
Yeah, you're gone again, Chris.
I am?
Yeah.
Yep.
Darn
yes,
it.
You are.
All right, well, thank you.
If you don't rejoin, the meeting will be terminated in 5 minutes.
Let's see if I can log. This time I got kicked out entirely. Hang on. If I remember my password, I've typed it in enough times.
I wish you got people to tell you now.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right away. All right, let's try it again. Oh, I wonder what it was.
It's quite possible that our upstream bandwidth is getting overloaded.
Back now.
Let's try it again.
Not working for some reason.
Tell him I'll be back in a second. Knock on wood.
I'm actually using a phone card for this.
Oh, no!
Yeah, that's the only way I could do this.
Well,
I'm glad I found it.
Okay, good. Well,
I'm using Skype.
Oh, Skype, really?
Skype out, definitely rough.
That sounds...
Yeah,
that sounds nice.
Like, again, Chris. Looks like it's working.
All right, yeah, I'm getting back in here in just a second.
Anybody else played with the Skype in beta? I'm having a lot of success with that.
Yeah, it works really well.
All right, now you should be able to see my screen again.
Yeah, we can see it.
Yep, oh, now it is. There it goes, yep.
So you can see the little miscalculation.
Worth 1,000.
Hey, while you're ramping back up there, let me put a plug in for SpamSoap.com. I dropped off for a minute, but that's a really good service.
SpamSoap.com?
Yeah, for people who have a real spam problem, it's solved a lot of people's problems.
Wow, that looks pretty slick. Is it software or is it server-based?
It's actually server-based. You just change your MX record to point to them and then point them to your previous MX record for your mail server.
Oh, okay.
And it does spam and antivirus for you.
Wow.
A really good job.
So
how much do they charge?
You have to go and look at their page.
I'm looking for the price right now.
30 days free. That's all I'm saying. 30
yeah.
days to try it out.
Even I was surprised when GoToMeeting they said, "Well, do you want to give them a 30-day trial?" I'm like, "Sure, why not?"
Now you got that 3-monther at the end of the show to get.
Yep, someone's gonna get it. I don't know who. I can't play any favorites. Here's a listing. It's based on mailboxes for the pricing of Spam Soap. It looks like 1 to 10 mailboxes, monthly total of $25. So per month per mailbox is $2.50, which isn't bad. Depending on, like, how much mail you have or needs to be filtered and what kind of mail and what kind of stuff.
I wonder what their false positive rate is like.
What's that?
I wonder what their false positive rate is like.
Oh, good question.
It's actually very, very good.
Cool. I think it showed it on the homepage.
0% admission. 99%
of spam caught, but it didn't tell you how much spam it identified as false positives, and that's the biggest problem with all spam filters is that anybody that has them has always got to go look at that folder at some time just to pick up the mail that got tagged as spam.
Yeah, but you're using...
That's a valid point. Chris, this is Greg. You know, part of what I do is I'm responsible for a couple of companies and running some systems to do that. And this has been a good solution for one, and then we use some other server-based solutions that we run in-house that do that, but this... one of the requirements that we've had is that the false positive rate is as close to zero as you can possibly get, and we've been really happy with this one.
But wasn't someone using CloudMark? Doesn't that kind of, or at least help those kind of issues?
I've had, 100% success rate with CloudMark. It's been really excellent.
Hmm. Chris, what are you, on the spam issue, what are you using to combat comment spam on your blog?
Ah, good question. And I'll just flip right to it. This is a classic case in point. If you can see the screen, the favorite icons that line up in the tabs, I knew exactly which tab I wanted to go to, which browser window. If I look at, MSN Toolbar Hacks, the entry here, there's no real, for blogware, there's no real easy way of blocking comment spam. It's all handled server-side.
Yeah.
And there's unfortunately no way of easily deleting, other than when you get notified by email, the comments spam, other than pressing the delete button. But you can easily go and ban an IP if I wanted to, but which I'm not going to do because I know this
person. But they're all using anonymous proxy servers now anyway.
Yeah, it seems to be. And I've noticed that because if I go back to the main control panel, I got sacked. And hopefully, I couldn't clear it all out because it was just too much, but I got sacked like 2 days ago with like a lot of like online poker junk. And yeah, it looks like a lot of them got cleared out, so hopefully they got blocked or removed.
That's the one thing I really like WordPress for. It's got amazing comment moderation ability.
Oh, so you're using WordPress then?
Yeah.
Oh, this is Matthew. Yeah.
Around the CAPTCHA type things that show up when you have to post a comment.
What'd you say?
Have the spammers gotten around the CAPTCHA thing where the squiggly lines show up and you have to enter that code?
Oh, I don't know about that. There was a study that was saying computers could probably figure that out.
See, I just don't think
the complexity of the image as to whether they could figure that out. And I've used CAPTCHA on my website before. I use DOSBlog, which is an open source free blog software, and what in the most recent version, what we've stuck in there is a referral blacklist and a movable type blacklist that we consume and use that in order to block comment spam. And then blacklist the referrals and actually send a 404 or an error page back to them in the event that there's somebody who violates it. And they tend to go away pretty quickly that way, actually.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. And we've had really good success. I've actually turned the CAPTCHA off, which is also built into DOSBlog, but I turned that off a couple weeks ago just to see if the comments would start flooding back in spam-wise, and I haven't had one yet, so.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at browsing your blog, Greg, on the screen. And
I mean, it's really pathetic on how much we have to do just to get rid of the spam viruses and all the spyware and all that.
Oh, it sucks. Really it sucks. I've gotten to the point now where, you know, for a lot of new users, I would probably recommend OS X over Windows just because of that problem. I mean, not the spam problem, which is obviously operating system independent, but just the spyware issue alone, it's just too much. It's way too much.
The only way spam will ever stop is if people stop buying stuff advertised in spam. If there's no market for it, you know, there'll be no point in sending it. But until we educate users of that fact, it's going to continue no matter what technology we come up with to block it.
So what, you mean those enlargements don't work?
It's like 1% of the people, which you really can't ever curb.
Well, I know... One of the issues is that, like, Ponzi, when she gets... Sometimes she'll get a message, like a PayPal message, that's saying, oh, your credit card... And she'll ask me. I've got her trained now where she'll turn around and ask. I tell her, don't click on anything that looks like this. And she says, well, how do you know it's real? Because to her, it looks real. So the issue of spam and getting people not to click on it is that even to me sometimes this stuff can be quite confusing. Like, well, I think that's legit, but is it? And that's just another one of the problems that are inherent with email that you don't have in other areas. Is the trust factor. If you don't know who it is, and if they're sending legitimate information, or if worse comes to worse, you get burned, you know, one way or another. So it's
RSS.
Yeah, RSS.
There is one safe way that you can do it. If you do get an email, type in the site manually. Just tell her that, and then it will say on the front page or something like that. Don't click on the link in the email. That's what you got to kind of teach people is don't do it that easily. Go in to the address and type in like paypal.com and then say log into your account and see if it wants you to do anything like that.
You know, there almost needs to be an interceptor that, you know, like I don't know if it would be a third party like interceptor that when you click on a link, it would take you to a dialogue saying this is the link that you're clicking on is, you know.
That's a good idea.
You know, this, it, you know. It should know, and it should be smart enough to sniff out, like on a server, if it would detect a server saying this link is known to be like spammer or whatever, or, like, you know, this is a problem, and this is why. It need to be a third party, or almost like a go between the mail window and the browser client that the user would be able to turn on or turn off depending on the trusted.
There was something in IE at one time that I saw which showed if you clicked on it, it was like a browser thing that said, you know, this is the real site you're connecting to. And what they need to do is just build that in with a warning box saying, you know, you're connecting to a site that's not the site. You know, just let it run all the time in the background.
By the way, I don't...
Actually, guys, there is... this is actually... This is my job, is dealing with phishing or, you know, some email-based theft identity information. There is a company over in the UK called Netcraft that has an anti-phishing toolbar that's built in and is specifically intended for to keep people, if they click on a link and it loads in a web browser, is intended to keep them from becoming victims of identity theft.
Is that the one with the big green text, like spoof stick or something?
I do. Well,
it says Netcraft on it.
Yeah.
And if you go to toolbar.netcraft.com, you can actually take a look at what some of the features are there.
Hey, Chris, do you mind if I demo... I just got 7 comment spams. Do you mind if I demo the WordPress
no.
operation?
No. Which one are you?
Matt Bischoff. MatthewBischoff.com, MagicPop@gmail.com.
Are you in... What's your name in the list?
It should be Matthew Bischoff.
I'm not seeing you, Matt.
Under MAB631 in the M.
Oh, okay. There you go. MAB631? That's you. Okay.
That's me.
No, I'm under that.
No, you're under that.
Okay. You're under that. Okay, so I'm about to do Matthew Bischoff. Okay. So I'm going to make you a presenter. And so now it should be going to Matthew's screen here in just a second.
Wow.
Better not be any naked pictures of my mom. All right. Okay, we're fine.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Wow.
You get all these nice online poker things here.
Yeah, see, I got hit with online poker. So this is WordPress's spam.
Yep. I
or
Andy's
like,
mark all as spam. The checkbox has changed there. Moderate.
Wow, that's
there we go.
Easy.
Simple.
Now, were those comments or were those?
And they were never actually on the site because it compares. Let me go back to that. It compares against a list. Options.
Well, that's pretty much how the new movable type works.
Discussion.
Yeah, well, that looked nice.
This is a. There's a common spam words list here, as you can see, obviously.
Oh, name or words?
Yep.
Chat room. That's funny.
So, and then you can check past comments. There's one.
Hey, wait, did I see my last name in that list? No.
No, that's only if the name is in the URL.
Gotcha.
The
wow.
Yeah.
That just doesn't seem to be as long as it should be.
Yeah.
I'm glad your keyword list isn't. You're not showing the same keyword list that I have on mine. It's a little more.
Racy, shall we say?
I'm gonna switch back.
Okay, no worries. That's how easy it is. And I was just on my screen. I don't know if you guys caught this, but I just posted this. If you do a search for my full name on MSN, it's just junk. Here, I'll show you. So like, my full name, Chris Perillo. Like, the first hit, consumer testimonials. Chris Perillo writes, I love remote control. I brought for my remote control. Hyperactive guru Chris Perillo says, fidgeting. It's not just for limbs anymore.
How did that happen?
Dude, look at this. It's just crazy. Ask Chris Perillo, how do I know if my new electronic toaster is conspiring against me? I've never said these things. Perillo found guilty of plagiarizing material to put in own diary. Hey, Chris Perillo, keep track of all your gadgets. Isn't that crazy?
That's got to be like an April Fool's thing.
No, Chris doesn't
really
know
the
life,
and
he's just borrowing
something.
April 1st.
April Fool's. So what you can do, this is great, you guys got to send this to all your friends. Now Jake is sitting there going, I sent it to you earlier, you probably didn't get the link. So yeah, you basically put in the target first name, last name, so if I can go in here and put, like, Ponzi and Dorana
Soap. Oh, this is funny.
And Dorana Soap Pon, she's a female. And she is new age vegetarian technophobe. And you can even like customize it further. Those are just the basics. Show me the search results so you can actually preview the search results. Ponzi and Dorada Sopan triggers brawl at vegetarian cookout. There we go. It's perfect. And so then basically you say you like your first name, last name. Oops. Perillo, my email. Which everybody has, so it's no big deal. Send results to Ponzi at LockerGnome.com.
Chris, do you remember that time when you were on call for help and you did it where if they went to your site, your seat drive would open up on April Fool's?
Oh, yeah. I upset a lot of people that way.
I remember doing that. There's actually... Here, let me see if I can actually find that. There's a script that's out there.
There's actually an app that will do that.
Yeah, there's an application.
Chris, I went to your site before you said that online, and I was, like, looking through my whole computer. I thought I had a Trojan horse or...
No! Oh, no. See, I don't have... I mean, not to disappoint anybody, but I haven't really got a April Fool's Day this year. I haven't really thought about it.
You still got a couple hours.
Yeah, I've got... Give me a couple hours. But now everyone's going to be aware of it, so it's not going to do me any good to have an April Fool's Day. Unless I think of something really good. I can't find that hack... But it's essentially like a JavaScript that opens a CD-ROM drive.
Oh, yeah, it's a great one. There's a whole bunch of them. There's one, what were those? There's one that'll, the Coke one?
A couple other ones? Do a search for free coaster or something.
You can always, like, print screen someone's desktop and then, like, set that as their wallpaper and remove all their icons.
Oh, yeah, I've done that, too. Yeah, those are fun.
If they have a old mouse, you can put a piece of tape on the bottom of it. You know, if it's not optical, if it's one of those, like, old ones with the ball in it. I don't really think anybody has them anymore, though.
It's like a computer prank or something.
Yeah.
April Fools. Let's see if I can find the April... under April Fools, and it's not... I'm not picking it up, unfortunately.
Computerpranks.com?
Computerpranks.com?
Software computer Joe. Downloadable pranks. Windows.
Open CD gag. There we go.
Yep, there we go.
I don't know if that's a...
The wonders of Google.
Yes, my Google foo is kind of high. Okay, so this seems to be an executable here. You just make a batch file. No, I'm looking for the JavaScript one. I don't know where that is. But I freaked a lot of people out with that one, that's for
Watching
sure.
Watching that meeting open all our drives at once.
Yeah. Oh, you mean GoToMeeting?
Yes.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be neat. No, the best April Fool's Day joke I ever pulled was with Locker Gnome. It was the best and worst at the same time. It was Locker Gnome, like in it was either 99 or 2000, and I had tons of subscribers, and had posted on the list. A list of 10 people. I said, the list is getting too big, we got to eliminate 10 people a day until the list is small enough, otherwise, you know, we're going to go away. And so I listed off...
I remember that.
Yeah. You do. I listed off 9, and then the 10th one was a mail merge command, which automatically included whoever's user's email address. So if it went to you, it was your email address. If it went to him, it went to his email address. Or his email address was in there. And so I sent this out... And, like, I was like, oh, I was getting the worst emails. Like, how dare you? I can't believe you did this. Oh, my God. I was blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, I felt so bad because it's like I was getting these nasty emails. And I was saying, no, it's April Fool's. It's April Fool's. How could you share my email address? Blah, blah, blah. Like, no, I didn't. And then I apparently I found out we were getting, I don't know, some insane number of people resubscribing to Locker Gnome. Our mailing list jumped by about 20,000 emails that day because people were trying to resubscribe with a new email address because the old one was allegedly getting dropped from the list. So we got a massive amount of traffic to our list, and so I actually had to send out a separate message saying, no, guys, it was an April Fool's Day. This is what a mail merge command is. So this is what happened. That was the worst one I ever pulled. That was that was just so bad.
Well, MuggleNet, the popular Harry Potter fan site, actually just put up their April Fools. They usually do.
MuggleNet?
Yeah. Now they're closed down. They were closed down by Warner Brothers.
Oh no. You know.
That's their joke.
Yeah.
I think ThinkGeek has got theirs up as well. Fondue USB desktop fondue set. iCopulate. Oh no. Oh no. SkyTag, green laser aircraft tracker.
Look at that ad. Now shipping Xbox 2.
Oh yeah, dude. Oh no. And you can't click it. No! Executive Pong set. You know, I'm not surprised.
Wait, click the customer action shots.
Ooh, I want one of those.
Customer action shots? No, actually, I don't think it's fake, dude. I think it's real.
That's a real one.
That's real, Jake.
What?
Customer action shots.
The Hexapox 2 one is obviously not.
Yeah, that one's big. Oh, that's fun.
Just having too much fun. April Fool's Day is always a good day, but you have to be like so on the mark, like when it comes to doing things. So here's something I need your feedback on, and understand everybody that the podcast is brought to us by Microsoft Windows Media. I'm doing a presentation on Microsoft Campus tomorrow. How should I do it? What can I do for tomorrow's April Fool's Day that would just get them?
Well, you bring a Mac.
What's that?
You could bring a Mac there.
A Mac? QuickTime?
Yeah, bring a Mac.
No, Linux.
They use a lot of Macs there for Mac Office and
yeah.
such.
Hmm.
You're doing a presentation?
Use OpenOffice.
Use the source for
OpenOffice.
OpenOffice on Linux would go over pretty well.
Yeah.
OpenOffice. Hmm.
Start downloading stuff with Pi Music, you know.
I do need to install like some type of Office suite on here so I can show my presentation.
Well, it's totally free and it's open source.
Oh, the open office? Is it is it compatible with
Yep.
Yeah. You can actually read and write I think Microsoft Docs, PowerPoint, mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah, I wonder if I should.
Yeah, if you're doing PowerPoint, just have the Linux screenshots in the background like you're running it on Linux.
Hmm. God, no, actually,
you know what you should do is you should do your entire slideshow in Maxthon and use the tabs to go from page to page.
Oh yeah, that'll really get them. What the hell?
Oh, by the way, you should buy this. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I've posed that question to him several times. I'm like, just buy the thing. Just forget everything else. Buy it. They won't. I wish they would,
so
but they won't.
So many good IE skins out there, but...
Overlays, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Chris, do you notice any, like, lagging or jerking on your computer while you're running GoToMyMeeting?
No, not at all.
Like, you're running, what do you say?
Yeah, it's like, it's seamless for me. There's no lag at all.
I had a slight issue a while ago, and it went away. It's just, you know, a minute.
That's what I basically wanted to know. I want to know if your computer runs at, like, normal RAID, you know, because half the time they'll, like, be sending, like, all that data out just to view your screen and everything.
No, if I look at, looks like the GoToMeeting application is right now at 0%. In fact, Maxthon is taking up more CPU cycles.
You're only, like, 47%.
Well, let's see here. Let me do it by CPU, or sort by cycles here. Because I think the host, yeah, the host is taking up, depending on what's going on the screen, it looks like it's averaging at about 11, 16, 10, right around there at this point in time. So it looks like Maxthon, there's something's happening in Maxthon that's taking more CPU cycles.
You're 30 windows.
Yeah. Alright, so
yeah,
I closed it.
Yeah, he's only got his idle time down to about 50%, so.
So something else is sucking it up. It must be Maxthon stuck in a thread.
Yeah, the OpenOffice program's called Impress. That's the PowerPoint-esque program in it. Of course, you're free to use your old Microsoft PowerPoint presentation. So, there you go. Hmm.
Oh, look at this. As soon as I close Max, then it looks like the CPU cycles for GoToMeeting just drop dramatically.
Yeah, look at that.
So there must have been a leak in Max then. But although I really couldn't even tell. So, much to its credit.
Right.
What processor are you running? How much?
Oh, this is a new IBM ThinkPad. It's a 1700P. I think it's a P, one of the mobile processors, P4s. Yeah, gig of RAM.
Well, that's your transparent screen background.
Oh yeah, this is yeah. Of course, everybody's doing that. I mean, I saw it and I'm like, yeah, I gotta do that too.
Everybody. Once I get my PSP, I'm gonna do one of the PSP ones. Those look pretty cool.
Yeah, this one, the page that I linked to has got tons of them. I don't know if these are the original ones. I've seen a couple of people do it with, like, Treos. I've seen one with a head. The one where they've got tons of them over at Flickr.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's a whole transparent screens group. There's, like, 200 of them now.
Yeah.
I saw one done with, like, three laptops. It looked pretty good.
Oh, yeah! And, of course, Todd upgraded me to a Flickr Pro, so I was like, holy cow.
Everybody thought that was so funny. You couldn't hear us, but we were talking about that, I think, when you left and you unmuted us all. We were talking about, like, oh, man, that was so funny. You didn't even know he had a Pro account.
Wait, it's April 1st, so, you know, now.
Yeah, great. Yeah, here are all the transparent screens.
Yeah.
Tons of them.
Oh, my connection's lost. Great.
Oh, there's an iPod one.
Oh, yeah, the iPod one.
Are we all on mute? Unmuted?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, we're all on.
It's Todd again.
So, wait, are we being joined by somebody else?
Yeah, it's Todd again.
Oh, Todd, hey.
Hey, Todd.
I decided to unmute everybody, and everyone's playing Civil, so we kind of kicked it up a notch and you know, try to do things a little bit differently. And it
third hour is always the best.
Yes, and it seems that it was definitely a success. So we're probably going to do it again. Of course, in order for us to do it again, if you have any feedback, just like email it to me, and then I'll pass it on to the GoToMeeting folks, and I'm sure they'll appreciate it.
And so the phone number, is that all built into the GoToMeeting support as well, or did you use a different meeting system?
I think it's a different system, but they do it in conjunction with GoToMeeting, because we were set up to do up to 200 people at one time, and the call could have handled that much. I think the call could have handled that much as well. And in order to have that capacity, you need to be on a certain conferencing system. So I can't remember the exact domain, but it's like linked through if you go to sign up for the GoToMeeting stuff.
Freeconference.com is really cool for that kind of stuff.
Free conference?
Yeah.
See, in the way I look at it, like in terms of like doing this, the reason why, you know, I think GoToMeeting excels at what they're doing is, you know, number one, they've been at it forever. I mean, they've been doing, as Jake said earlier, they've been doing thin clients like probably since before I was born.
Not that long.
Well, it's seemingly that long. I'm only like 13 years old, so hey. But it seems that you know, if you're going to do any kind of business type of working in any kind of business class environment, it's always good to make sure you've got some amount of ability to fall back on somebody or something should something go wrong. So that's where I find going with services like this. It's usually better. Usually, not always.
Did GoToMeeting work on the Mac or just the?
No, it doesn't work on the Mac. But they do say on for GoToMeetings, they say that you can hold as many meetings as you want for as long as you want. So it's just one rate. So that's one thing that it has over other services that I've seen. So that I think is probably its biggest selling point. And I can tell you, like I said, you've seen me drop this. Get dropped a few times, and I was able to get back in without any problem. I mean, the conference still kept going and everything. So that to me is probably the most impressive feature. Well, beyond the fact, can you guys resize the window smoothly on your screen?
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Isn't that the coolest thing? I saw that. I'm like, no way.
I actually maximized it so my whole desktop is like yours.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's kind of freaky.
So it's like you're controlling my computer. It's a little freaky. I haven't resized it yet. I want to actually resize it.
Resizing it is where it really gets impressive because live.
Wow.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Try finding that in another service. I mean, that just blew me away. It's like the whole thing is like it turns into a vector, but it's not. I mean, it's obviously bitmap, but.
Right.
It's so smooth. That's probably what impresses me.
They pull in your desktop resolution. Probably the first thing that it does, because that's how. Even when Todd was on, we had the widescreen going.
Yep, I could tell that Todd had a widescreen.
Yeah, what did that look like at your end?
It looked like a wide. I mean, I was able to resize it, but I could actually see the dimensions and of the window. So it's like
it changed the window size for you.
Yeah, it changed the window. It shrank to my resolution. And then I could resize it accordingly, so it was anti-aliased in such a way that it wasn't a problem, but it was neat because I could tell the ratio was the same, so I could tell you had a widescreen laptop or desktop.
Very cool. Yeah.
That was the cool thing. So I can only imagine that when they open this up to OS X, it's going to be even better.
Yeah.
Is it not OS X? I thought it was a Java app.
It's Java, but they may have
install something though.
Yeah, they may have. I think they've got EXE files. If I look at the task manager, I see a couple
Hang
of
on,
processes.
I can just switch over to my Mac for a second. Try it.
Yeah, I see a few EXE processes running in the background right now.
So, and they're not taking, the only one that's taking up any cycles is the fact that I'm hosting something. So it's got a, it's doing a smarter redraw. Hell, if VNC worked this well.
I wonder if you could, I wonder if you could run it on virtual PC on a Mac.
Oh, yeah.
That would be kind of tricky. But you probably could.
Because it thinks it's a PC then, that's no problem. It'd just be slow.
Yeah, it'd probably be very slow. I don't know if I'd want to host a meeting on it, but.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't work at all. As soon as you go to your link on a Mac, it just says your operating system is not supported.
Really? Is that the specific link or the GoToMeeting?
That's your specific link. Hmm. That's the one with the 84814 number built in.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that it launches the software in case you can't get to it.
That's strange. You'd think if it were Java, they should be able to support it. They must
it's a Java launcher, but I don't think the app's written in Java.
No, it must not be.
Citrix uses a whole lot of the Windows backend, though, I think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there are Windows-specific hooks in there.
Terminal services type hooks.
There have to be to get the speed out of it.
Yeah, dude, the speed is just crazy. And by the way, speaking of speed, this is 24-bit color. This is 24-bit. So, everything that I show you is, full on.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's again, if there's a free service out there that does the same things, I think that GoToMeeting, would have, some stiff competition, but as it stands, I'm wow.
Have you played a lot around with the Confabulator yet?
You know, that's, talk about sucking up CPU cycles.
That really does a
suck. That thing, really.
Yeah, it does.
Go ahead.
No, I've had a few widgets installed, but then I immediately turn them off just because I see what kind of, I don't need to see the weather that badly all the time,
Each widget launches its own process.
You could actually go outside every now and then.
What's that? The last comment?
You can actually go outside every now and then.
Yeah, exactly. And the weather's my window is right in front, so I can see out. And speaking of window, I think our window of time is kind of closed, guys. So, that's kind of the end of our show. But hey, like I said, send me comments on how you felt this went, and if you'd like to do it again, etc. And then but do that because then I can pass it directly on to those folks. And then as the more people talk about it and learn about it, the more people the better this is going to be.
Definitely blog it, yeah.
Yeah, I would appreciate that, and I'm sure GoToMeeting, would appreciate that as well, because this is just, I think, a fantastic application that I don't think they even thought of, that I think they've got a completely new market with this, with podcasting and interaction. So blast a message to me, chris@lockernome.com or chris@perillo.com. You can get the link is over on my blog if you can't find it. So, just going to wind everything down. I'm going to put everybody on mute just a second. See you guys maybe later.
All callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing 6. This line is now muted. This line is now unmuted.
Okay, so sorry, guys. I know you guys all wanted to say goodbye, but I just wanted to wind down, get it ready to go, and get the lines all cleared and clean and everything. We will be back again next week, of course, for a 3-hour show, and hopefully, with any luck, like I said, send a message out to me and let me know what you thought of tonight's show, the ups, the downs, the goods, the bads, and I'd love to do it again. In terms of with GoToMeeting, they were fantastic all the way through. Provided a wonderful back end. They provided the phone conferencing software and really made this happen. We've got the 30-day demo that is available to anybody using the word GNOME or GNOME. Yep, and I'm getting ready to now pick the 3-month winner. Oh, looks like Harry Hayes finally popped in. Yeah, nice to join you. I know why he's joining now, because he wants to win the 3-month trial for GoToMeeting. All right, let's open up the window here and keep going here. And while I pick someone, I should also remind everybody that the show, as always, is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media and the stream from Limelight Networks, and we're very thankful that both of those companies are involved, as well as GoToMeeting. Hopefully we can make them a regular sponsor too. Alright, scrolling up and down. Okay, who did I land on? Wing It. Logan E. Wing the 3rd. It looks like Logan wins the 3-month trial for GoToMeeting. Logan, congratulations, And thank you for being here, and I recognize that name because Logan has emailed me several times. And with any luck, like I said, we'll get GoToMeeting back as a future sponsor, maybe give away quite a few more 3-month trial memberships. But even if you didn't win, it's okay. You can get the 30-day trial. GoToMeeting.com, click the radio icon, use GNOME as the keyword. 30 days. Go ahead, pass that around if you want to. Go ahead, blog the keyword. It's no big deal. Again, thanks everybody for showing up. Please send the feedback, and we'll see you later.
The Windows Media Stream for the live broadcast of the Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.